Welcome to the Calvary Baptist Church broadcast, presented by Calvary Baptist Church in Gainesville, Georgia. We are a small but growing group of believers in Jesus Christ and want to invite you and your family to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. The church is located at 1370 Calvary Church Road in Gainesville. And now to bring you today's message, here's Pastor Raymond Laddie.
And that's what I want to talk about today a little bit. To try to answer some questions and remind people, remind myself, what's going on based on God's Word. So I want to talk a little bit today about harvest time. This is a time of harvest. It is a bountiful crop of a lot of things this year. Muscadines, probably the best crop I've ever seen. Does anybody know what muscadines are? Most of you do. Lily calls them mussy dimes. And Lily is one of the greatest consumers of wild fruits I've ever seen at her age. Kind of reminds me of herself. She will eat muscadine, seed, hulls, and all if you don't watch her. Yesterday, I hear, she had her first persimmon. It's a rite of passage, or should be in the South, that you have a persimmon. And that you learn that you cannot eat green ones or you cannot eat the peel. So I think from what I heard, she had one and wanted another one. So she must have found a ripe one. You name it. Acorns, wild grapes, all the nut trees, acorn trees are just raining down. Walnuts. We had some beauty berries this year. It makes an unbelievably good jelly. There's just a bounty of a harvest out there that we tend to overlook. I read this morning where the corn crop this year in the Midwest is going to be one of the best ones ever. They produced a massive amount of corn, and that's a good thing. Finally, our government's funneling some money and more money into rural America for those things, because we take for granted where our food comes from, don't we? Those hardworking farmers, wheat's doing well. And most everything has been a very good crop. And it has to do with the rain. It has to do with the processes leading up to harvest time. You have to have the right amount of sun. You have to know what you're doing with the fertilizer. There's so many things. I believe it even has to do with the moon cycle, too, because the moon affects everything else. But I planted a garden this year. It's probably the best one I ever had that I did on my own. Not based on my own abilities, but based on the blessings of God that comes in the form of rain. Now, I did have to put in the effort. I had to make a decision that I was going to plant it, and then I had to follow through with, hoeing it and digging it out and putting a little, ramshackle fence around it to try to keep the deer out. I had to go down there and work hard in the blazing sun with a bit of faith that with the right conditions, and if it was up to God, I would have a good crop, and I did. I had a great crop. I was especially proud of my watermelons this year, yellow-meated, old-style watermelons. Those went pretty well. So it's a great time of harvest, but I want to talk about a harvest that we're seeing go on in America now. I want to talk about what's led us to this point. With the events of this past week, and I'm not coming at this as with political sides. My political side is based on my faith. And that's the way it should be. We shouldn't pick sides because of who the commentator is or who the president. My politics, if you want to call it that, it comes from a heavenly basis. It comes from God's law. God's law is set forth. And then I'll decide who I'm going to align myself with politically. I think that's what we got to get back to. And I hopefully most of us do that, and I think we do. But as the tragic events of this week, as we've seen somebody that embodies America gunned down for a lot of different reasons, and I know that's on everybody's mind. I don't know everything about him, but it seems to me like he was one that his faith flowed out into his politics. And none of that's going to be perfect, but based on what happened, it's kind of a wake-up call, we could say that. So, and then people go crazy with all this stuff. But not even just that, that day there was another school shooting. There's shootings daily all over the country. It's to the point now they're not even reported. So I want to look at that today, and many radio people that I listen to as I go to pick up my daughter or I go here or there to work or whatever, talk about it. And most of them are probably non-believers. There's a few that I think are believers. They say, how did we get here? This is not the America that I knew. Well, that's because some things has happened leading up to, I'm going to call it harvest time, that was done to guarantee the kind of harvest that we're having that is violent, that is, so polarized. We have people saying that this is probably the beginning of civil war. We are very close to that kind of an unrest. We're so divided. God said that a house divided cannot stand. He's talking about either our own houses at home between man and wife, or political houses, or, you know, socioeconomic houses. A house divided cannot stand. And there's always been divisions, but boy, they are starkly sharper now, it seems like. Even there's been more of this going on, they say, since the 60s when MLK was assassinated and RFK and a bunch of other people in 1968. But all of that aside, how did we get here? How did we get here? It's a process. A harvest is a process of decisions. It's a process of faith or non-faith, or faith in wrong beings or wrong things. Harvest is a commitment that goes on for a long time. I had a great aunt that was born in 1908, and her garden was everything, because throughout most of her life, her garden was her food. They did not rely on food from supermarkets and stuff like we do. So she said, you have to get out there and plant, and you have to have faith. Because I was complaining about a little garden I had. This was 30 years ago, and she was elderly, and she said, Raymond, you got to have faith. And I'll never forget her saying that, because she lived by that faith. She worked by that faith. She planted seeds that she hoped would yield, and she knew what she was doing, but yet there had to be that God aspect. So I want to talk about harvest time, because we're seeing a harvest of the things that we have planted. We're seeing a harvest of the things that happen when God is pushed out. We're seeing a harvest of things that is affecting good people. We're seeing a harvest of things that seem incomprehensible to us as decent human beings. If I don't agree with you, I'm not going, short of you threatening my family in a lethal way, I'm not going to bother you. I'm going to have some conversation like, this individual tried to do with people. But you see, what we have to understand, and I've talked about this before too, is that we've pushed Jesus out of things by and large as a nation. And when you do that, he said and warned that demons would come sevenfold. If I remove a demon, if I remove paganism from your society or your nation, and I come and fill that void, and then at some point you push me out of your schools, you push me out of your halls of Congress, you push me out of your churches even, or your homes, then Satan will send demons sevenfold and indwell that entity. And that's what's happened. That's why we have the kind of evil, senseless, mindless. That's how demons work. Let me tell you something. What we are seeing, people call it radicalization, and it can go on both sides. Let's be honest. We've seen that on both sides. Radicalization to me is when a demon fully takes over an individual like this young man and says, get a gun and go shoot that guy. That's demon possession. I believe that. A lot of people don't. They say, well, it's real. It's real. And then, once that happens, you can even see that in Congress when those events happen and they try to be civil and have a moment of silence and people start fighting. Symptom of the whole problem right there. Demon possession. It's an entity governed by evil influences. So how did we get here? It should not come as a surprise. It always shocks us. Especially the non-believing world, and I heard it 100 times last week. How did we get here? What is going on? Who are we? Well, we're a people that have chosen to forget God. It's that simple. We are for a people who have chosen to accept evil things. It's that simple. There is good and evil. Today, we call evil good and good evil. The man who sat atop that building and sighted down through his scope at Charlie Kirk thought he was doing a good thing. That's how it can be twisted by the enemy. While we know, as far as we know, that Charlie Kirk was doing the right things. And that's hated now. You're a target, especially somebody on his level, you know, politically. And no doubt, you know, I don't like all the politics. I don't agree with all of it. But if anybody seemed to be sincere, as far as I know, it seemed like it was him. He had a wife. He had kids. He said, go have kids. He said he always professed his faith. He seemed very courageous in that. He was doing more to talk sense into young people than anybody was. He was that new generation that, you know, conservatives say they need. But I don't want to get too political, but I want to go to the spiritual part of it because that's my job. That's my job. That's where everything else comes from, okay? In Joel chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 13. Harvest in the Bible is twofold. It's a symbolism of judgment, but it's also a symbolism of redemption and God gathering in those who love Him to a better place and in a better way. So in Joel, here's what Joel was prophesying, one of those minor prophets, which I don't like to call them minor prophets just because their books are short, or their ministries were shorter, because they had some of the heaviest stuff to reveal to an unbelieving nation many times, such as Israel or Judah. He says in verse 13, put in the sickle. Anybody know what a sickle is? Not a popsicle. Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, that you go out and... I've got one that belonged to a man who was born in 1852, a Merc, hanging in my shed. It's an old sickle. Or a scythe. Kind of the same things. They differ, but you go out and you harvest. You cut down. Whatever's been planted, whatever's been prepared for, whatever faith went into that, there comes a time whether there's either a good harvest or there's a bad harvest. And in the United States today, we're seeing from a spiritual standpoint, not an agricultural standpoint in some ways yet, we're seeing a bad harvest. We're seeing a harvest, before I get into the scripture, we're seeing a harvest that started in the 60s with a sexual revolution. We're seeing a harvest that began, and I do not have time to go into all this. This is a series of sermons. We're seeing a harvest that began with all this illicit drug use. We're seeing a harvest that said that glorified divorce, and then in the 70s began to glorify the death of unborn children. The death of unborn children. We're seeing a harvest. God does not forget those things. Roe versus Wade. That's been overturned to an extent, and praise God for that. But, you know, if you sow blood, Jesus said it, if you sow it, you'll reap it. Amen. We have sown death, destruction, convenience. Now we're reaping the repercussions. We've forgotten our churches. Much less God, but we've forgotten our churches. The vast majority of people will not be in a service today. They're out there in the world, and they're going, what has happened to our country? What has happened to our people? Why are people absolutely mindless? Uncivil. People are uncivil. I was in line the other day, and this is a petty example, at a CVS, and I'm standing there with my stuff, and a guy just jumps in there in front of me. I don't know if he couldn't see what was going on. I don't know. But I'm like, you know, people used to stand in line, but I guess if you're entitled and you're in a hurry, you know, if he'd come up to me, I didn't say anything, so I didn't want to get hurt. Kind of a wimp, I guess, but big old guy. But I'm like, you know, you stand in line and wait your turn. People don't think like that anymore. I'm going to cut you off on the road. Even if it causes you to go off in a ditch, I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to get what's mine. Even if you've worked for it and you've worked hard for it, if I can, I'm going to come and get it at no cost other than the effort it takes to steal it or whatever. On and on and on. But people are uncivil. It all goes back to spiritual things and a relationship or not with God through Jesus Christ. None of us are perfect. But man, we're seeing a stark contrast now, aren't we? A stark contrast. You see, it went on down through Roe versus Wade, and then in the 70s and 80s, it was a good idea to take prayer out of schools and the Pledge of Allegiance. And then probably the greatest enemy strongholds on our soil are liberal universities. Boy, they are enemy strongholds. This dude was at Utah State University, got a full ride. How could he have been radicalized? Because of the demonology that's coming down through our higher institutions. I dealt with it in 1996 as a flunking freshman at Gainesville College, which is now defunct. North Georgia absorbed it. When a professor who sat there under his degrees and diplomas all day stood up and proudly said, anybody that would believe in the narrative of creation is an idiot. And now we're reaping what we've sown. You see, we have these kids that their parents won't take them to church, never did, never went to church themselves. You see, harvest is a process. It can take years. If you plant ginseng, it's at least a 10-year harvest. Boy, you're talking about takes faith to raise something. That's ginseng. And because of that, the prices can be exorbitant. I digress, but it's a process. So we get into the 80s, and we have this big movement that really started in the 50s and 60s that's done more damage than we realize, called Hollywood. Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. The things they teach and preach and model. And then we have these things called screens that we can't take our eyes off of. I know that there'll be kids that'll go home today. There'll be kids in your family that will be on a screen the vast majority of this afternoon. Wasn't here, necessarily. But they'll be on that screen. And they won't be looking at the right thing sometimes. Even what seems to be, you know, harmless is teaching them something. They go on these video games, and the whole idea is to shoot everybody that you see. So they have no knowledge, they have no ability other than what a screen tells them. So when somebody tries to debate them about the things that are right or they're wrong, they have no rebuttal. They've been told something. They've been radicalized, if you want to call it that. Satan has entered, and they say, well, you know what? Just like on a video game, if you don't agree with me, I'll kill you. I'll just get you out of the way. I'll make a name for myself. We got a problem. We're in a mess. We're in a terrible mess. We're in a terrible mess. It's because it's been sown. It's because it's been sown. No doubt about it. Preachers and teachers and scholars, biblical scholars and theologians have screamed it for a long time, and people laugh and don't come and won't listen and choose that bad harvest. And our kids, we're getting numb to this stuff. We're getting numb to this stuff. Little kids in a Catholic school. And they're a Catholic. But them little kids are in there trying to learn how to pray, and somebody starts spraying them through the windows. We're in a mess. We're reaping a harvest of blood, violence, and a disdain for the things of God. We're reaping that harvest. Where does it? A lot of people say this is a turning point. You know, on both sides, people are calling for war, and I understand that anger. Understand that anger. Some perilous times that we're living in. Everything that we're seeing, everything that we're, God foretold it, warned about it through Christ, warned about it through the prophets. He has reached out. He has pled. He has bled through Jesus Christ. He has taught. He has set up stuff just on and on and on. And people make that decision that they're going to go their way, the devil's way. And you reap what you sow. You see, let me read on. I don't want to disregard the scriptures here. Verse 13, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. This can be a good harvest. Side note, this can be a good or a bad harvest. Here it's a bad harvest. Go in, tread, for the winepress is full. You know, the muscadines this year, like I said, are unbelievable. I've never seen as many of those, but the amount of violence that we're reaping is unbelievable too. The amount of blood that's being spilled. All over the world. You hear about it with the high-profile people, but all over the place and on all levels. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near. Remember that. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. And the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shake, but the Lord is a refuge to his people. Always God is calling and pleading. He's saying, if you do not do things my way, based on my law and my instructions, even on a scientific level, then this is what you can expect. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it. That's a loving God. And he's saying, but I am a refuge from this. That's what I believe that Mr. Kurt proclaimed. God is a refuge. His way is greater. But you see, Satan hates that. And he hates that whole persona. Someone that would have children and teach them the laws of God. Somebody that would marry a woman. Somebody that would stand up for the things that are right. Even though I'm sure it was not perfect. Satan hates that. He's mobilized. And there are more demons at his disposal to wreak havoc because we've let them in as a nation. And the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. But the Lord is a refuge for his people. This is a refuge. This is a refuge. Isn't it something that we've gotten to a point? Think about this. That we have to pat people down sometimes before they come into church if we have suspicions, well-founded, fair suspicions. Have to pat people down before they come into the church. You know, in the 60s we went through that with civil rights. And I love what Calvary decided, that if these individuals come and want to worship, they are welcome. That awesome? Thank God blesses that. These individuals come, these people want to come and worship, they are welcome. They are welcome. But if not, you're not welcome. But boy, that's gotten a whole lot worse as far as what we're dealing with violence and church shootings and on and on and on. You shall know, verse 17, and everybody's going to know this. If they don't know it now, you know this. If you're born again, everybody's going to know that God is the Lord of Zion and that he is God and he has no equal. He is God who dwell in Zion, my holy mountain, and Jerusalem shall be holy. He's talking about that embattled place that we read about every day is still his. And those who take it up on their shoulders are being broken down by the heavy weight. It's a burdensome stone, the prophet said. And the UN just voted to recognize a Palestinian state. Meanwhile, their societies, European culture is absolutely collapsing. They are being overtaken by Islam. Amen. By the way, I read that their crop for 2025 in the UK is going to be the worst ever. I don't think these are coincidences based on God's word. Amen. They have received a locust from the deserts of Egypt here recently. I'm going to tell you something. God is not mocked. God is no respecter of the stars and stripes if we forget the stripes of the Savior of the world and mock those things. We need to remember that. The older people, our seniors, I can't imagine what you must think. A lot of you lived through, remember, your parents at least, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, those things, some of you. My goodness, you've seen more in your life in decline than probably any other generation potentially in this country. But God says, Jerusalem shall be holy, and strangers shall never again pass through it. And in that day the mountain shall drip sweet wine, and the hill shall flow with milk, and all the stream beds of Judah shall flow with water. He is proclaiming that if you want to win, you need to be on his side. If you want to escape the coming judgment, symbolized in a harvest of the scythe or the sickle or whatever you want to call it, if you want to be that wheat and not that tire that looks just like a wheat, them tires that grow in that wheat look just like the wheat. And there's no way to know for sure. I'm talking about church people. I'm talking about so-called Christians sometimes. There's no way to know for sure many times until the day of harvest and of threshing. And you find out that there's nothing there. Don't be that individual. I'm going to go to Revelation today, chapter 14. Because there is judgment. People say judgment. Boy, that's an unpopular thing these days. But there is judgment. There is judgment. You know, I think it's one of the great mysteries of God, but it shows that He is just, that He is to be followed in the ways that He, or the way that He's made available for us to escape the eternal judgment is amazing. It's so full of love and mercy and grace. Even the individuals who wreak such violence in our nation today could be saved. They could come back to Jesus. I don't know if they will, but they could be born again. They could be saved. Could end up in a place that we believe Mr. Kirk's at today, at 31 years old. Verse 14 of chapter 14 of Revelation, "Then I looked, and lo, a white cloud, and seated upon the cloud was one like a son of man with a golden crown on his head." This is the boss right here. "And a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat upon the cloud, 'Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come.'" There is a day of reaping coming, spiritually, in the end times. But there's also a day of harvest and reaping that we're seeing now that's based on choices, decisions. It can be on a personal level, choices and decisions of the past. And if we decide in our free will that God has given us, if we decide to continue to turn against God and walk away from God, and He calls to us, and He calls to us, and He calls to us, and we continue to disobey and to shun Him, we will be turned over to that end. God didn't do it. You did. The people that, it's amazing that people would celebrate like they do the things that we've seen this week. But then again, with Satan, it's not surprising. You know, they cheered, the demons, when they thought Jesus was dead and was going to stay dead. There was cheering, there were celebrations, and then, 3 days later in the morning, the tomb is open. The tomb is open. And our great God wins through Christ. That's the way forward for us. I don't know what we're facing in the days to come. I do know that if there is not repentance, and I think it has to start with the church to be the example, if there's not repentance, I know people that would tell you they're saved that you wouldn't know it. During a week, you would think something totally different. I don't know if they're wheat or tares. It's not for me to judge that. It's for me to be praying about and skeptical of. But we need a revival in the church, and we need a return. We don't need our churches to be Six Flags and amusement parks. We need our churches to be where truth is. And where accountability is, and where love is in Christ. And in those things is pointing out that there is judgment, and it can be eternal and will be. Or there is redemption and paradise, and there can be and will be for those who just give it all up and say, "I want to follow Jesus."
Thank you so much for listening to the Calvary Baptist Church broadcast. To hear more of this service, other past services, or to learn more about our programs and ministries, feel free to check out our website, calvarybcgainesville.org.
97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station in North